FNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
Houston is all systems go!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's talk some Astros baseball. Joining us, superstar broadcaster Jeff Blum. He is something special, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Blummer, what's up?
Not too much. How are we doing this morning?
Man, we're doing great. Not as good as you are. How is it there? It's got to be perfect every day, right?
I wish I could tell you, but I know that the first time I went through Florida, it was 85 and sunny, which is much better than it is in here in Houston. I'm actually off for spring break, and I won't be back on TV until the 19th and 20th.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I'm enjoying this weather here locally just like you are, man.
Yeah? Good. Well, you're probably up north in the Woodlands or something, and it's different weather up there. So yeah, we're in the Galleria.
You could have ice there.
I don't know what it's like way up there because we're close to the equator. All right, let's talk a little bit. Okay, so sent down Bukauskas and Whitley, sent down Tucker, not going to be part of it, but that wasn't expected. I don't think they're coming. If Whitley does come June 20-something, whatever that date is that you afterwards, you think he is going to be here at that time?
I would say it's a little bit heavier on the yes side than it is the no side, just because he put on such a good performance in spring training. And just a little note on, you know, these guys getting sent out when they do, a lot of it has to do with financial. They get meal money and things like that, so they send these guys down financially. It helps out the ball club. But also, I think that with as good as these guys are and as well as they performed in the minor leagues, as well as they performed in spring training, I think organizations actually like giving these guys a little bit of humble pie by sending them out of spring training early. And kind of it's stoking that fire of, yeah, you pitched well enough to be here, but we're going to send you down to the minor leagues and have you get a taste of that again. And so these guys are going to be back. It's just a matter of time. I'm with you. I think the Josh James incident with the right quad strain kind of fast-forwarded maybe that progress of Forrest Whitley. And what I like to see is that Forrest Whitley actually recognized, you know what, this might be an opportunity for me to make a statement. And he went out there and did. He was out of those Bukauskas, Corbin Martin, Forrest Whitley. I think Forrest Whitley really jumped to the forefront with the stuff that he has and the ability to get the swing and miss.
They're loaded. They're loaded with good young pitchers. It's been kind of a surprising to us. You know, what with McHugh going down, Josh James going down, you know, Keuchel is sitting out there. They let Charlie Morton go. You're in the last year with Verlander and Cole. Not saying that they can't come back, but you don't know. So this is the go-for-it year, Blummer. Do you feel like that the organization is saying this is the go-for-it year?
I don't think they've gotten to that point yet because of a lot of what you just said as far as depth is concerned. I'm not sure if they're on the, you know, on that, I don't want to call it a panic button, but that express button that says we have to go for it now because there is so much depth as far as pitching is concerned. Mm-hmm. But I also feel, and this might be a personal feeling, we're also kind of waiting to see how healthy these guys are. Altuve's kind of been on the shelf. I know there's a couple of weeks left, but they want to make sure he's right. Alex Bregman is getting back in form. Carlos Correa's probably had one of the more impressive springs just because of the health and the way his swing is reacting in the zone really turns me on. And they want to see how this lineup fills out with Michael Brantley in it. And I really feel right now that they feel if these guys are 100% healthy and that offense is out there clicking, they really don't need to make a major adjustment as far as rotation or bullpen or something like that. But I feel the same way you do as far as rotation. It is very good, but there's always that what if. You know, I feel that the Astros are going to win the American League West handily because all the other teams in the Western Division didn't get good, and the Astros are going to take that. But it's a matter of what they want to do past that, and I think that's kind of what they're evaluating right now is we're going to win the West. What's going to put us into the World Series mix again? And I think that's where your mind's at. I think that's where my mind is at because these guys are that good. They're going to win a ton of ball games. It's just, will they be able to get another ring?
I think one of the concerns that, we've had here, Jeff, is Jeff Blum joins us right now talking to some Astros, is that when you look at 3, 4, and 5 potentially, you could be asking your bullpen to pick up a lot of slack in consecutive games relative to what's expected from an inning standpoint of those pitchers in the rotation. Do you envision, how do you envision July versus opening day 3, 4, and 5? Do you think we'll see Whitley or Martin? Do you think we'll see one of these big young arms get their chance to jump into the 3, 4, 5 by sometime in July?
I do. And I, you know, a lot of it depends on, I think Colin McHugh is going to be fine. The lower back stiffness doesn't worry me as much as, you know, a muscular type thing. I think that he's veteran enough to go in there and get healthy and work through some of the situations he's in right now to elongate himself in that back end or that four spot in the rotation. Wade Miley's going to eat up innings, but I agree with you in the sense that, you know, at some point, if Josh James doesn't step up and extend himself and go deep in ball games, your bullpen is going to start to get taxed, and you're going to have to bring in some of these young arms. But I would expect that 4 and 5 spot in the rotation to kind of not be a revolving door, but I think it's going to be a lot of mix and match for A.J. Hinch, trying to figure out which guys he can elongate. And A.J. Hinch has even said it as far as position players and pitchers. He's going to ride that hot hand. So if he gets a guy in that 4-5 spot who's pitching well, giving him 5 strong innings, and he's able to use the bullpen in the back end of that rotation, if you know what I mean, that he knows he can take a break 1 through 3, because Miley, when he's going well, is going to get deep in ball games, and you can already count on your 1-2 starters in Cole and Verlander to go 6-7 strong in each ball game. So that's going to give your bullpen a little bit of rest, but I agree with you in the sense the back end of that rotation is going to leave a lot of managerial pressure for A.J. Hinch trying to figure out how to get through some of those games. But again, I feel that they're really relying on the offense to put up big numbers so that they don't have to rely on the bullpen or that starting rotation all that much in the back end of that rotation.
Jeff Blum with us on ESPN 97.5. Do you agree with does Alex Bregman have a point after what they did for Carlos Correa last year? Do you listen, this is the game, this is the business, but, you know, you did that for that guy. How about doing it for me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to side on the side of the player. It's tough to be an organization and run things the way you feel is appropriate, but no matter what you do, especially in those first 3 years before a guy gets to arbitration, you're going to piss somebody off. I don't think that they pissed Alex Bregman off enough to where they shun him from future contracts. I think that Alex Bregman is a guy who is brash. He is appropriately arrogant, and he's good. He backs up a lot of what he goes out there and does. So I actually kind of enjoy the fact that he's a little ticked off, and maybe that's extra fuel that this guy already has to go out there and perform. But I've got no problem with him coming out and saying it. I don't think the Astros do either. They understand that this process is built the way it is. We know that the CBA is coming up here in the next couple of years. And this may be something that they address later on, because the game is getting much younger, and the earning window for these guys is much earlier than it was when I was playing the game. So I understand that these guys are kind of positioning themselves with some of these quotes and some of these emotions to set up that CBA coming up. But I've got no problem with Alex going out there, and I truly believe that the Astros feel the same way. They're each doing their job. Alex is playing the game as a player, and the Astros are playing the game as an organization. It's just how it works in the current system that we have.
It's funny because there's a lot of talk about how, so to cross over to another sport for a second, people are looking at Le'Veon Bell's contract that he earned and saying, mm-hmm. boy, this is money that's relative to this NBA player or that NBA player. We know that that's irrelevant. You're in different sports, you're different pay systems. But I'm wondering if a guy like Alex Bregman and these young baseball players who also follow other sports, if they look at their structure and how they're set up, even though it's guaranteed money on the back end when you finally get there to the real contract, I wonder if they look at this collectively bargained situation that's been in place forever and say, man, we're tired of this. We're watching other young guys get paid early on. And just to speak to what you just spoke about, the earlier, you know, earning window, and say, we want something different because we want to get our money early like these other guys in other sports.
No, I think that's definitely where it's trending. We see it with the free agent market. You know, I think a really good example is a guy like Adam Jones, who, you know, 10 years ago, Adam Jones would have had himself a 5-year deal immediately just because of his track record And the game, you know, and like you're saying, all these sports are shifting from your, you know, getting a current contract for what you did previously. Now I believe that with all the analytics and the way they're able to project and assume what you're going to do in your career based on what you've already done is what's changing some of these contracts and why younger guys are getting paid the way they are earlier. And I think that the way that the players might have the ability to go out there and offset some of these analytics is to go out there and alter the free agency, alter the, you know, the time spent pre-arbitration and speed up the free agency rules, because these guys are getting younger, because the analytics tell you that the younger player is a better player and has a, you know, if you start that player earlier, his winning potential or his statistical potential is in that 25 to 32 range. So, and if you're going to counter, if you're going to offset that as a player, you want to get paid earlier because you're getting to the big leagues earlier. And that's how most teams are going now, is you're paying for future potential statistical performance as opposed to what you did previously.
I do want to mention something I really like about you on the broadcast and Matt Bullard on the Rockets broadcast, is that you have really embraced, and Julia for that matter too, I think she's excellent at doing that, bringing in analytics and digestible analytics to the to the watcher, the viewer, because, you know, sabermetrics can be the war and the VORP, but when you start talking about digestible things for the watcher, the viewer, right, to dig into, I think you've done a great job of bringing that into our living rooms through television.
I don't know where you get it, Plummer, but you know the speed of the ball coming, and you immediately
exit velo is amazing.
All of this stuff that you're able to get at your fingertips, is there a website that we can get this stuff to?
Yeah, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, as a player, I was skeptical of it.
Right.
But now that I'm out of the game and I'm on the media side, my job is to inform the fan of what's going on in the field. I can give opinion and experience just having been on the field, but now that the analytics are part of the game, it wouldn't do me any good to not understand what's going on analytically and try and apply that, but help the common fan understand why those analytics are important, because I've turned into a fan too. I love the game, and I want to promote the game, and I want to promote the Astros and encourage people to understand why these guys are in our clubhouse and on our field consistently. And so we have to understand it. And luckily I have resources both on the internet, both through the organization and just through friendships that I've made, you know, as far as on-field management, and also guys who crunch the numbers. I've reached out and asked thankfully the right questions and gotten some good answers. But one website that I go to consistently is baseballsavant.com. And Darren Willman, who's actually a local here in Houston.
Yeah,
dude. He is a valuable resource as far as email is concerned for me, but also his website brings a lot of that data and information pretty quickly to me. So that's how I get my hands on it. But also Major League Baseball with Darren Willman does a lot, very good job of StatCast. It's a proprietary thing that we actually have private access to during the game, that I get a lot of stuff. But
can you send that to me then?
Don't give him your password.
Yeah, give me.
I was going to say, we could blow up the server right now if I give away all those passwords.
No, just to me. I just want just text me the password.
No, but it is amazing that the technology that's in stadium, yeah, it produces instant access, and Zebra is trying to do the same thing. Well, they do it for next gen for football, basketball, and Second Spectrum has it. So baseball has been at the forefront early on. And Darren Willman, you know, I had Darren Willman doing stuff for my old football website back in 2013 with another guy named Tyler Oberle. Tyler's a director of analytics now for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Darren Willman is like, you know, big with the statistics and the different analytics with Major League Baseball. And I'm stuck here with you still, Granato.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame. Look at me. That's bad for you. All right, a simpler question. DH, Jeff Blum with us on ESPN 97.5. Do you foresee if Tyler White struggles, or even if, you know, whatever, that Mariznick plays left, Brantley will DH, or he plays center, and Springer plays right, and Reddick will DH, or Tony Kemp will DH, or how do you see DH going?
It's interesting. I think you pretty much nailed it right there, because I think it's going to be one of those fluid situations for at least the first half, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a bat available around that trade deadline, or if the Astros even feel they need a bat. But I think A.J. Hinch is a guy who is going to play, a guy who is swinging a hot hand, but he also knows matchups pretty well. Again, we talked about the analytics, and there's so much information out there that tells A.J. which lineup is going to probably produce the most runs, and I think that's how he's going to manipulate the lineup. I agree with you in the sense that Jake Mariznick is going to be on the team. Tony Kemp's going to be on the team. Tyler White's going to be your initial DH. How does he mix Yuli Gurriel in there? Is there somebody else that can go over to first base and give Yuli a little bit of a break as far as his legs are concerned and give him some DH days? But I really believe that it's going to be a Michael Brantley, Tyler White type, platoon type situation. And if the matchup dictates, you can move, Jake Mariznick to center and do the Cupid shuffle with Springer going to right and Josh Reddick going to left. So there's ways to manipulate that, but I really believe, like you said, with those names that you brought up, it's going to be a fluid situation for A.J. Hinch, and just finding the guy that's swinging the bat well at the time, or finding a matchup that really, is conducive to scoring a lot of runs.
And then finally, quickly, Aledmys Díaz, how do you say he's not? Marwin is something special. Is Aledmys Díaz?
No one can replace Marwin.
No. I mean, and everybody said, well, that's Marwin's replacement. Is he? I don't know. How do you see them using him?
I'm curious myself, just watching some of the box scores and seeing how they move him around. I think they're kind of giving him a pass as far as offense is concerned. But think about Aledmys Díaz, too. He's, like you just said, you can't replace Marwin. I don't think it's good for a guy like Aledmys Díaz to go in there and say, hey, I'm going to replace this guy. I think Aledmys Díaz needs to understand that the Astros are very good when they pitch well and play good defense. And I think that's the priority right now for Aledmys Díaz, is to be a very good utility infielder and be an average outfielder is his priority right now. And the battle come. He's got some sneaky pop, but again, I don't think on this roster, and maybe the reason why Marwin wasn't brought back completely is because Alex Bregman, when healthy, is an MVP candidate. Carlos Correa, MVP candidate when he's healthy. Altuve is going to play you 150 to 160 games. Yuli Gurriel at first base is going to play you a ton of games. So that really didn't leave many at-bats for Marwin Gonzalez in Houston. That might be why he left, and also why Aledmys Díaz is here, because they're not going to rely on Aledmys as much as they did on Marwin, because they're counting on the health of these guys going out there and playing every day.
Yeah, he was your starting left fielder at the end, and now you get Brantley. So,
yeah, good point.
There you have it. All right. Hey, Jeff Blum, man, awesome. We appreciate it. Have fun up there in the Woodlands or wherever you live, whatever. Thanks for joining us, and we're really looking forward to this season. Hope you can join us again and talk some baseball.
No, I'd love to. It's always good being on with you guys. If you need any more information, remember to catch up on that podcast, Bleacher Blum, man.
Bleacher Blum.
Yep.
Bleacher Blum.
Dude, you've turned into quite, I remember Berkman used to always speak so highly of you, and how he's like, dude, he's one of the funniest ones on the whole team.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, obviously, with you being more at the forefront with the broadcast. And
except Berkman would go, yeah, but he's got blue hair. That's the problem.
What is that?
Maybe that's what he was laughing at.
Blummer, thanks, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
We appreciate it. Jeff Blum right here on ESPN 97.5.
So one of the most fun things that I would do last year was I would turn on the Astro game, and I would just go out to my patio, and I would, and as a matter of fact, if you, like the MLB At-Bat app is really cool as well. You could, you could set up your iPad, set up your TV on your patio from Texas Custom Patio, get your drink right there next to you, and you got a whole experience, an interactive baseball experience during the spring and into the summer. That's just one example of how your patio could turn into your own personal little getaway. And it is, but it's also a place where you can go entertain people. And I went out to dinner yesterday with friends from the neighborhood and said, hey, we're getting ready to have the big steak night. It was me and some buddies. There were about eight guys. We all got together, did steaks and drinks, and the girls were out of town, and we had a great time, just the dudes hanging out last year. And I think we're going to do it again out on that patio. They were blown away. You can get your own patio that blows you away and your friends. Big television out there, surround sound system, and it's built. You can have it built onto your home with gabled roofs and just unbelievable features that are built into your outdoor living space or your outdoor kitchen. And it's all done by Texas Custom Patios. I looked for the best I could find. I found a great price, and I found a great company with Texas Custom Patios. Turn your house into a home with my good friends there and just really enjoy the outdoors with a patio from Texas Custom Patios. To see what my house looks like now, the before and after, go to tcplance.com, or better yet, go to Texas Custom Patios and see all of the work that they're doing right now. Texas Custom Patios.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I just went to the bathroom real quick. I came back and Dell's hitting on Briah, the intern out there.
Why are you lying?
He's, were you out there?
I was telling her to upload the Jeff Blum interview.
That's not
Do you think
on.
That's appropriate, though, to tell behavior her, in right in front of our general manager who's sitting here?
To explain to her how I would like the Jeff Blum
Oh, sure you are.
The interview up?
Yeah, that's all.
It's not a euphemism.
I heard the word Blummer, and I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
It's not a euphemism. No, it's simply
I'm
the
ads.
All I did was say, okay, hey, make sure you spell his name like Geoff as opposed to Jeff.
Yes. He's English. Somewhere in his background, he's English.
G-E-O-F-F.
You don't even have to 23andMe that to know that he's English, because his spelling tells you.
He is British.
Jeff Blum. That's absolutely British.
Absolutely.
I had a grandma, well, we called them Blooms, but on my side of the family, my grandma Stephen's side, my mom's side, they're English. They're the Blooms. So,
not the Zierlines?
That's something as a side.
Not the Zierline?
And then my grandma, before she passed away, I went out and, you know,
the
we
Freulein?
Spent some time and talked to her. And she's like, oh, you know, she was telling me about family lineage, which was really cool. As you get older, it's a lot cooler to find out all that stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, Grandma, the Blooms came from England, which I knew. This, and then on the other side, they came from, and on that side, Grandpa Stephen's side, they came from, his dad was a hat maker in France. I'm like, what? I thought they were German on that side. Oh, no, French. He was a hat maker. Oh. Right here. Here's this. Like, what?
Your grandfather was a... Your great-grandpa.
My great-grandpa Zierlein, I think.
He was a hat maker in France. I'll bet he hated Americans, and he smoked cigarettes.
Well, I think he was a little different hat maker from France type of thing back then. But you know what I found out from Chance's documentary about my great-grandpa Zierlein, my dad's grandpa? He used to go from little town to town and just get in fights. He would, like, you know, organized, and now, you know, from the farms of wherever, I don't know where your farm would be considered, and my grandpa would just go get into, like, prize fights, but with no gloves, just bare knuckle, like, I'll have a fight in this town now.
Would you like to fight?
Yeah, just try.
And then afterwards?
And then sometime it wouldn't be sanctioned either, and he would just scrap.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they enjoyed a nice cold beer afterwards, warm beer, actually.
He was a little rougher gentleman.
Hey, take a break with ESPN 97.5. Head over to the number one poker spot in the entire city, Houston, Prime Social, on Friday, March 15th from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. All the TVs, gourmet food. I ate there yesterday, as a matter of fact. I got the combo fried rice. Man, I'm telling you, the food is... JT had two meals there yesterday. Games for everyone. So come get your poker fix Friday, March 15th. 10,000 guaranteed. PrimeSocialTX.com. PrimeSocialTX.com.
Nice!
Taking a break because we are behind on ESPN 97.5. Don't you go anywhere. Listen, I don't need it now because it's Lent. But when I was partaking, and for those of you watching on the Twin Peaks stream, live stream, video stream, you can see my Coors Light laptop. And I'm a big Coors Light proponent. I don't know if you know that. I'm an enthusiast. So right now I'm taking a little bit of a break, so I don't really need, and guess what? Cheers is not happy about it because their sales have drastically decreased because I take three whenever I drink, go home, take three Cheers pills, a little bit of water, go to bed, feel better the next day. It is. Now, you may not be observing Lent and not drinking alcohol. So if you're having some alcohol, you're enjoying libations, that's fine. Even if it's a wine or two, all the way, I don't care how much you drink. But before you go to bed, you take three Cheers pills, and you feel better the next day. It's guaranteed. It's here in Houston, so if you order today, it'll be here by 4 o'clock tomorrow. CheersHealth.com. Guaranteed to work. You'll feel 50% better. CheersHealth.com.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The headlines. The Texans pick up a couple of defensive backs. Tayshawn Gibson and Bradley Roby coming into the fold. About seven a year for Gibson over 3 years, and 1 year, $10 million for Bradley Roby. See, he turned down 3 years, 30 from the Steelers is the alleged number. Yet he wanted to take a chance over here. We'll see if he will be. Hey, cool move that we didn't even mention was the Steelers keeping Ryan Shazier on their roster. And so he gets another year of pension, and he gets paid his contract, and, he's on the physically unable to perform list. I doubt he'll ever play, he won't play football again.
I'm waiting for somebody to say.
But it's pretty cool for them to do
that. I'm waiting for somebody to say, oh, you can pay Ryan Shazier, but you can't give Antonio Brown more guaranteed money. I'm waiting for somebody to say something like that.
I don't know if anybody is that stupid. Well, people are stupid.
Yeah,
it's on the board, but I don't know. I can't. I really can't see that happening. Jeff Blum sent out, and I retweeted his Baseball Savant website. So if you were looking for that, we've got that. Thanks, Blummer.
It's not his. It's Darren Wilman's.
Well, it's his, though. He tweeted it out. What else do we have here on the table? Of course, Odell Beckham Jr. traded from the Browns to the Browns from the Giants.
That's a really big deal. So the Texans right now are in desperation mode at tackle. I don't expect them to look at Darrell Williams. He's not good. You're just paying for a guy who's not good. I mean, you're just asking for it. Same thing with Donald Penn. Not good. His time's passed. They may still sign another cornerback. Ronald Darby is a guy who has some ability, but he's coming off an ACL tear, so that's a big risk. But he could be a one-year deal. You could plug in two bridge starters in Roby and Darby and then see how they play and then still draft your cornerbacks. I still think they're going to draft two cornerbacks in this draft. But what's happening, what's becoming obvious now, is the Houston Texans, and it was apparent to me, unless they got really involved with either Gilbert or Trent Brown, is they're going to be in some trouble at tackle. This is not something. It's just obvious to me. This is not something that can be fixed in 1 year. It just isn't. And
well, especially with rookies too. I mean, if you're doing it through free agency, that's one thing. You got a guy who's experienced. He's probably going to be. If you're going to depend on that first year guy, you're going to have some growing pains. I don't care if he's the 23rd overall pick, and he maybe, I don't know what number tackle it's going to be, but you're not sure at 23 that there's any guy that's going to just step into the league, right?
No, I think there are tackles who will step in for the Texans, yes.
And be
Be better good? Than what? And be better than Kendall Lamb,
I didn't say be better.
Well, that's what you can... That's no, all
I'm
you can
saying
hope for.
Be good.
Well, you can't... It's impossible.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
now,
yeah.
There are some first-year centers that will... tackles that will be good.
Well, not at 23, not very often.
Not at 23,
even Dwayne
right.
had his struggles where he was, and he became a multi-year pro bowler and all pro. It just... It takes time. It's hard.
That's what I'm saying.
And the Texans... Here's my big concern now. When you're desperate for one position, you're at the mercy of other teams trying to trade ahead of you. And so what's going to happen now, this is my concern, is that there will be a run on tackles. Andre Dillard from Washington State will be gone. Juwan Taylor will be gone. Jonah Williams will be gone. There's three off the board, and that's if you consider him a tackle. I think there's a chance Dalton Risner, who I don't even know if the Texans would consider him a tackle, he could be potentially gone. Cody Ford could potentially be gone, and he's not even 6'4", so he might be considered a guard. You start running out of players now, and now you're looking at Greg Little, awful combine, awful. And I don't feel like he is a first-round tackle. He could be a guy you look at. There's talk that the Texans will trade back, not up, but back to add another pick because they know we really need some players in the secondary. And they gave up their fourth-round pick for Demaryius Thomas. That was a yuck deal. You thought it was going to patch you up, and Demaryius really offered very little when you really are honest about it. And maybe it's because Deshaun wouldn't target him. Maybe he just couldn't get open. I don't know. But you now don't have a fourth rounder because of it. So the Texans could look to move back. They could still end up getting a guy like Greg Little later in the draft, back into the first, maybe early second. They could still get a left tackle in Greg Little, who didn't have a great combine, is a second-round player, could step in and be a starter and be better than what you had, and you pick up an extra pick. That's still possible. So I would expect the Texans to trade back before up.
We got to see how the draft develops, but is there anybody that has to get up to 23? You know, yeah, obviously there were.
Well, it's ahead of. Well, oh, you mean to trade up for that pick?
Yeah.
We'll see how the board lasts, but I know this from talking to teams, and the Browns have even said this. The value in this draft is in the second round, frankly. Yeah. But you could. A lot of people are going to have really widely varied. There's a lot of similarity between picks number like 20 and number 40. Like there's a group of 20 players who people are going to just have them completely all over the board where you have different players depending on scheme and things like that. And I think that's what's going to happen is because schemes are changing so drastically, you're going to see much more varied draft boards. But my guess is that the Texans might be able to find a trade partner depending on where the run, like, you might have only one cornerback off the board, so that could be a position where somebody says, man, we really want a cornerback. We're going to get that. But maybe that's the Texans who say, we really want a cornerback, and we're going to draft one here. One guy that I had up high on the board, DeAndre Baker, on my draft board, my personal grades, I heard that he was in a meeting, and they said, why would you grade your practice? He didn't have a great training session. B, I heard he missed some of the training sessions he was supposed to have. He just no-showed them. And then a team said, how would you grade your practice habits? He goes, C.
Well, that's good.
Who prepared this guy? C?
No.
You don't say you got a C.
No.
All right? Okay? Come to me. Tell him you're an A.
You know what? No. You don't tell him you're an A when you're a C. That's a problem.
Honest.
Listen, the team's got to appreciate it. He's honest. He's being honest here.
Yeah. I just don't know if that inspires confidence in the pick.
I got a question for you before we go to break, quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
Is Mark Ingram one of the greatest Saints ever?
No.
Oh, really?
I don't think. I mean, you shouldn't say that about him.
Where does he rank as far as Saints running backs ever?
Is he ahead of Deuce?
Deuce, they got Deuce number one.
Yeah,
of all
I would
time.
Put Deuce McCallum.
But he ran for more touchdowns.
He plays in a more offensive system.
50 touchdowns. And Ingram ran for 6,007 yards, only less than 100 behind McAllister's.
How many touchdowns did he have?
Ingram averaged 4.5 yards per carry, which is better than McAllister, Rogers, Dalton Hilliard, Reuben Mays, Chuck Muncy, and Tony Galbraith.
Ingram So, you know, Muncy is the name. So, Dalton Hilliard, those aren't great running backs.
No. No, they're not great running backs. I mean, George Rogers was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, but.
But he wasn't a great running back.
Who? Where did Chuck Muncy end up?
Chuck Muncy ended up in San Diego.
Well, that's just the ranking system?
Yeah, I don't know where he
yeah, no, I don't know. I guess Ingram probably is right behind Deuce.
Yeah.
Now, it's a lot easier playing for the Saints offensively when you got Drew Brees in that offense. You get a lot of touchdown opportunities. And
he's the best offensive first-rounder in the Peyton era. They had Reggie Bush, Robert Meacham, Brandon Cooks, Andres Pete, and Ryan Ramczyk. I never thought of Mark Ingram, but apparently the locker room loves him. His enthusiasm is infectious.
He's gone
now that they signed Latavius Murray. And it's did you notice not one Saints player congratulated Latavius Murray and welcomed him?
Oh, they did?
Because they're gonna miss Ingram.
You know who I've heard the Saints also have interest in is how long is the Latavius Murray deal? It's like 2 years, basically, right? It's a 3-year deal.
Yeah, that you can get out of.
What's two? I've heard that they have some interest in Travion Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That they've been very interested in Travion, and potentially the Texans have a little sniffing around.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah.
A little burst?
Travion's got a lot of individual workouts set up with a lot of teams.
Today is Kyler Murray's. We're speaking of little fellas. Yep. Kyler Murray's workout is today.
Kyler Murray working out today. All he's got to do is throw the ball accurately, and he wants to. I think you need to command the workout. Show that you have a presence out there. Yeah. You know, that leadership, what Charlie Casserly got, he got from a team, okay? I've heard it from somebody else that not a leader. So what he needs to do is get out there and show command on the field. Just show a little juice that you're in control of the workout. The workout's not in control of you. Just something little like that. And honestly, it may not matter. Arizona may have made their decision up anyway, so this may not matter at all.
What can he do to lose out on the number one pick? Would he have to?
I think he'd have to throw poorly.
Would he have to poop on himself on the field?
He'd have to. No, I think if he. Now, you know what you'd have to do to make the owner say, ugh, no thank you, is he'd have to have a Teddy Bridgewater workout, which was famous for his inaccuracy. Like, he sprayed it all over the place. It would take that, and I just don't see that.
There's nothing off-field related outside of like an arrest that could keep him from being number one pick at this point.
Yeah. I think if he tests positive for something, that could keep him out. But I don't see anything keeping him out at number one personally. Do you, John?
Nope. He's the number one pick.
Is it a guarantee to the Cardinals or it's just?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think he is the number one pick. 845 ESPN 975-713-780.
What about Raiders?
77. That could be a possibility.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. You're on ESPN 97.5, 713-780. 3776. ESPN falling all over itself with the Odell Beckham trade. Good Lord. Do they love, if it's about LeBron, Kyler Murray, Odell Beckham Jr., the Red Sox, I mean, it there's like all kinds of substances all over the floor at ESPN. All kinds of bodily fluids.
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and now, I mean, it's all coming together for them.
Yeah.
Now, the sad part is they won't be able to talk about it. Well, what am I talking about? They'll be able to talk about Odell Beckham to the Browns for the next 2 weeks at least.
Good Lord. Kevin Johnson just signed with the Bills. Good Lord. That's not.
Best of luck.
That's unfortunate.
All right.
Come on, Kevin Johnson.
What?
Give it up. Give it up, man. Your health is way more important than playing another year. You take one more hit. Goodness gracious. That hit that he took against the – was it Cordero that just waylaid
Cordero him? Patterson just ran into him.
By the way, Cordero
– he's a big dude.
Made $3 million last year with the Patriots. He got 10 with the Bears.
He is a unique player, though. I don't know that you'll get
well, like, as a returner and then running back.
There's not as much value in returner anymore.
No. Well, but guess what?
He's a catch and run guy. You just put it in his hands on jet sweeps.
But you never know where he's going to be because of his route running. You really have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a different guy.
No. I mean, he's another weapon because he can't break. He can break it for you.
Why does Kevin Johnson signing this contract? The Buffalo Bills put this out. This looks like somebody – this looks like a guy – not even a five-star. It looks like somebody who's maybe a two- or three-star signing with Virginia is what it looks like, right? It's just some kid. He's got a backpack on because, you know, it's important to Kevin Johnson keep his stuff with
him.
He's
got his hoodie and his
backpack. And it looks like it's just some kid who's some three-star who's signing with Virginia. Like, here's who TCU's getting. He's their new cornerback at TCU coming from some off-brand school outside of Dallas. That's what that looks like to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's an NFL player signing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sitting at a table signing. Okay, we want to get a picture of you signing your contract just to make sure people know it's real that people are coming to Buffalo.
Mm.
Okay. We want to make sure people know that people do want to come to Buffalo. What if Kevin said, but this is my only offer, though.
The Bills Mafia is welcoming him. They're very, very welcome home. Looks great. He's ready to go to school. Excited, Kevin. Welcome. Welcome to Buffalo. Great signing. Your three games, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great fun having you here for three games. Could you take number 13 so I could keep my Stevie Johnson jersey? What? that would be perfect for everybody that's got a Stevie Johnson jersey. Have Kevin Johnson wear 13, so they don't have to change. 713-780-3776 if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
So we hadn't talked about it enough. Rockets take on the Golden State Warriors. We had Astros Talk with Jeff Blum. You can catch it on a podcast, podcastarena.com. We've talked about Tayshaun Gibson is a Houston Texan at safety. A pretty favorable deal, too. $22 million over 3 years. Bradley Roby, not Nickell Roby, is going to be a Houston Texan. 1 year, $10 million. So basically, it's a tryout year. He will be a starter. And then you'll find out if he can play. And if he can, then he's going to cost you a lot more money next year. But I guess it's better than giving a longer-term deal for a guy who's coming off of a very inconsistent year in coverage after Aqib Talib left.
Do you think they signed Aaron Colvin to a one-year deal to see?
Would have been better.
Would
have been a whole lot better. I don't think the Texans are finished yet. I think they could look running back or wide receiver and maybe even another cornerback. So I don't think free agency is done. But as I said yesterday, the Nordstrom draft or the Nordstrom free agency period is over. Yesterday began the Nordstrom Rack section where you started getting more discount deals where maybe the buttons weren't quite lined up. The Stein Mart is going to be next, and then you get like the bottom of the
dollar
basement.
Store.
Yeah, like you start being the picked over
99-cent store.
Oh, clearance, and everyone's thinking they're going to find a really cool DVD. Like, oh, I'm going to get an awesome DVD in here, and then you realize these all suck. It's not one thing in here that's worth a crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's in clearance, son. That's why it's in clearance. Everything must go. All of these terrible free agents must go. Mm, 1 year, $4 million. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, no, and this is that's very Texans to be picking at the bargain.
Well, they're not picking at the bargain yet. They're Nordstrom Rack. That's okay.
Mm-mm-mm.
But they could be at the bargain bin. I think they definitely will have another
$7 million a year for a starting safety is not exactly going. Is
no, that's Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah,
that's not Nordstrom. That's the second level, and then you will at some point. I think they will be Steinmarting, where they'll say, "Give us a Steinmart receiver." Like, okay, 2 years, five a year, or four and a half a year, and he's a 3-4, and he can step in and play when Fuller gets hurt again. Well, I mean, it's not if, it's when he gets hurt again,
yeah.
This guy can step in and play.
Yeah.
If they had it to do all over again, obviously they wouldn't have given away a fourth-round pick for Demaryius Thomas. That didn't work.
Can you tell me?
Not even last year it didn't work.
Where does Aaron Colvin rank on the Texans as far as on his pay scale? What number? Jadeveon Clowney's number one.
At this 15, is total 15. Cap space. 4. Not base. Total cap space. Your cap hit.
Cap hit.
I would say. Oh, man, he might be 5.
He's 4. Tayshaun Gibson at 7.5 is 5.
Well, that's probably because the guys who had signing bonuses, like, okay, so J.J.'s higher.
Jadeveon's 1. Jadeveon, J.J.'s D-Hop. 2. D-Hop is 3.
Okay. I don't know who I thought would have been 4, I guess.
Those three take up about $45 million.
It's not Deshaun. It's, well, I don't Deshaun's know who I would have. Yeah, I don't know who Bernard I would have thought would have been the 4th.
Bernardrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whitney is after that.
They gave Bernardrick a good deal.
Yeah.
The Texans have made good deals with Gibson. I mean, it's only as good as the guy plays, but
yeah,
they're not getting killed on the deals.
Been good for them, not
yeah,
a great
no,
cover
I
guy.
I think anyway. Bernardrick is a
Whitney
good...
Whitney hasn't been a good, good deal.
He's...
That's another guy that, gonna, you could, that you could save some money with.
Yeah, he's going to have a hard time. Look, he may make it to camp. He's going to have a hard time making it through camp, though.
Nope.
And he may not even make it to camp.
8:57, Raheel on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.